Stager Talk Radio, brought to you by Real Estate Staging Association. The Real Estate Staging Association is the trade association for professional real estate stagers. For information on real estate staging or to hire a professional stager, visit www.realestatestagingassociation.com or call 1-888-201-8687 for a referral to a professional real estate stager in your area.
Well, good morning, everybody. This is Shel Brodnax with Stager Talk. Thank you for joining me this morning. Today we have Katie Matthewman on the line. Katie, thank you for joining us. Say hi to everybody.
Hello, and thank you so much for the opportunity, Shel. I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. So, Katie, you are located in British Columbia, correct?
That's right. Yeah, just outside of Vancouver.
Outside of Vancouver. And what is the name of your company?
I'm the owner of Fine Redesign, Home Staging and Decor. And as I said, we're based just outside Vancouver. And we have 6 full-time stagers on staff, along with warehouse person, office manager, photographer, et cetera, and, all the support staff that are required to keep them going. And we've just recently expanded our warehouse, so we're sitting at over 6,000 square feet for our rental accessories and furniture. And so to date, we've staged over 1,500 properties, and we're sitting at annual sales of revenue about $750,000. So.
Awesome. So I'm really excited about our talk today because we're going to talk about one of my favorite subjects, and that's team building.
Yeah.
I've been in management for my entire career, and one of my favorite things is team building and leading a team, pulling a pool of people together to accomplish a common goal. I'm into it, and so are you based on your subject matter. But first, I want to talk a little bit about RESACON, the RESA convention. Now, you've attended, I think, 5 or 6 years in a row now. Tell me about your experiences at RESACON.
Well, you're absolutely right. It's my 5th year in a row attending, and as long as they're happening, I plan on attending them. It's to me, I am always amazed every year at the amount of, incredibly valuable information and knowledge and skills that I come back with. Not to mention the contacts, the networking and the contacts and the friendships that I've accumulated along the way. For me, I truly believe it's one of the best investments that you can make if you're serious about your staging business. And, I've found over the years that I try not to be quite so overwhelmed with the amount of information that I know I'm going to learn. And I've decided to go in with a goal that I want to choose at least 2 things that really resonate with me that I know are going to help me with my business. And then I kind of focus in on those 2 things, and I commit to making sure that I apply them when I get home. Because, otherwise, the first few years when I went, I kind of came back, I was all pumped up, and I was so excited, this big binder of ideas and notes, and then you get home, and the phone starts ringing, and you start getting busy again, and that binder would kind of get stuck in my drawer, and nothing would end up getting done. And so I found by sort of making that switch, the convention has paid for itself tenfold, just from taking a few key things and making sure that I apply them when I get back.
That's awesome. I love hearing that type of feedback. Obviously, I love organizing the convention, and I believe in it, that I talk to people all the time, that even throughout the year. So even, come June, summertime, fall, people are still talking about last January.
Yeah.
I'll get phone calls saying, I just implemented this. And I think we spoke to Christy Morrison yesterday, who said that, something came up in her business that she'd learned 3 or 4 years prior at convention,
yeah.
and she
yeah.
was able to address it. So we absolutely love it. So tell me a little bit, you've got an interesting background. Talk to us a little bit about what you did before staging.
Okay. So basically, sort of to go a little bit ahead, I want to start out by saying that like most of the stagers I've met over the years, I truly believe that I was born to do this job. I was born to stage. And, I started my staging career very early, probably 9, 10 years old, right? My mom, my best client, gave me a lot of repeat business. And, I was just constantly, I was always one of those people who would walk into someone's house and think, oh, I'd love to bring that picture down, or, oh, I would love to rearrange this furniture. I just sort of did it automatically. And, what I took my professional staging in 2006, and I was lucky enough to take it under Barb Schwartz, who many consider to be the creator sort of the staging industry. And over the course of sort of being 9 or 10 years old to the time I took it in 2006, I had taken many design courses because I did have a real love and a real passion for it. I had attended the Design Institute of Technology in Vancouver, which is where I'm based. And I was also really lucky enough to come from a bit of a real estate family. So my dad was a realtor, my mom was a realtor, and my brother was a realtor. So I grew up very familiar with the real estate industry and sort of the ups and downs and the pitfalls of it, and was in the process of taking the real estate course when I stumbled on a book in chapters by Barb Schwartz, and it led me to the staging industry. I literally back then did not even know the staging industry existed. But having said all that, my professional background was similar to you. It was in business admin and in business management. And I worked for a company for almost 20 years, a distribution company. And when I was several years in with them, they offered me this amazing opportunity to go and open up a brand new branch. I was living in Edmonton at the time, and they offered me the chance to move to Vancouver and open up a branch. And sort of during the course of the next 15 years, I was able to learn a great deal about how to start a company and how to run a company. And I turned the branch into a very successful and very profitable location for that company. It's still their largest to date. And so I say this because when I started staging professionally, I felt I had a really valuable and very useful skill set. You know, I knew things like I knew accounting practices, you know, and I knew profit and loss statements, and I knew how to write a business plan, and, you know, how do you remit and pay corporate income tax and payroll taxes, and, you know, how do you hire someone and train them, and how do you fire them, and, you know, how do you make employee payroll deductions, and just all those things that I had this advantage of knowing that people need to know, regardless of what the company is that they're running, whether it's a staging company or it's any other company. You kind of need to know those things. And I believe that that's one of the reasons that I've been, that's been instrumental in my success as a stager.
You know, I think it's amazing sometimes when I interview different people and talk to different stagers throughout North America, their backgrounds. Everybody has a lot of different backgrounds. And staging is very right brain, left brain. You've got the real creative side, which is, what, 10 or 15% of the business. And you need the other side of your brain to make it all work. So in doing this with people in my business coaching, what I found is you do have the right brain, left brain, and sometimes people, they need help. And they need to be able to create a team in order to be able to pull up all of their objectives for their business. So that's the subject matter that you've chosen for the workshop. Tell me, obviously, I think why you chose the workshop is because you have the ability and the skill set to be able to teach people this. But tell us a little bit about this workshop and what people are going to expect.
Okay. Well, and I there's a few reasons why I chose the workshop, too, not even just because it's sort of something that I feel is valuable, but really more because I could talk about staging, any aspect of staging, forever and be happy. I think everybody feels the same. It's our passion, and we love it, and we can talk about it forever. But one of the reasons I chose this specific workshop is that in the last 9 years that I've been staging, I am never asked by stagers, you know, how do you stage a bedroom, or, you know, how do you get your furniture from here to here, or what, how do you choose your colors? I mean, they never ask me how to stage, but they always want to know, how did you find your staff? You know, how did you train them? How do you pay them? And so it sort of just seemed like common sense to me to offer this, because it's generally the only thing that I get asked about. And that's why I kind of made the course a little bit more for mid-level stagers. I think there's a real need for people who are just getting into the business and the industry to learn the basics. You know, they need to know how to put furniture placement together and take proper before and after photos and design and color trends and all those things. They're so vital and important to help you succeed. But I also think that once you reach a point where you're kind of operating your business and you're moving along, but you need to take it to the next level, that's where I think that this workshop can really help people. So, some of the things we're going to touch on. So, you know, by the time I started bringing on my staff, and I knew I always wanted to be part of a team, I was exhausted. I was doing pretty good business, but I was all alone. So I was either staging or doing consultations or destaging or doing presentations at offices during the day. And then every night I'd come home completely exhausted, and then I would sit at my kitchen table and do all of my paperwork, you know, while my family ate dinner a few feet away. And that went on for quite some time. So I kind of want to touch on, you know, when is it time to start hiring people, you know, and where do we find them? You know, where do we, it sounds easy, but where do we find the people that we want to hire? And I want to touch on some of the characteristics that we're looking for in people because of the way that our industry is. You know, when I advertise, I don't say that I'm offering somebody a full-time 40-hour work week job because that very well may not be the case. So how do we train them, you know? And I'll go through it in great detail. How do we pay them while we're training them? And then how do we pay them once they're trained, you know? People have different ways. Sometimes people pay hourly. Sometimes people pay, you know, more, you know, sort of on lump sums on jobs. So I'm going to kind of lay out exactly how it's worked for me. And people can sort of take that with how they want. And if they apply certain parts of it to their business to practices, then that's great. I do want to touch on the subcontractor versus employee. I think it's really important. This comes up a great deal in my conversations with fellow stagers, and it doesn't matter whether you're in the States or you're in Canada. You know, the IRS and the CRA have very specific guidelines about, you know, hiring somebody on as an employee versus hiring them on as a subcontractor. There's a great deal of benefits to hiring someone as a subcontractor, but if that's the route you're going to go, you know, I really want to caution everyone to sort of do the due diligence and do their homework and make sure that they're following within those guidelines. And then I want to touch on sort of some of the things that I know Christy had mentioned yesterday with systems. We call them here policies and procedures. And, you know, why are they so important? And when do you implement them? You know, so, you know, a perfect example for me is if you're a solo stager and you know exactly how you want a consultation done, how you do it, that's your policy. And that should be typed up and written so that when you get your team member on board, boom, that's your policy for how a consultation gets handled. So it kind of needs to get started immediately. I made that mistake of implementing my policies and procedures too far down the road, and by then I already had senior people in place who were kind of like, yeah, you know, we like the way we do it, and it becomes
right, resistance.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, okay, no, we're doing things the proper way now, and they're like, no, okay. So I do think it's really important.
Some of the things I find in the business coaching that I do with home stagers, when they get to a certain point, they're frustrated. And they didn't see their projected growth, number one. And number two, when they get to the point where they need help, and now they're frustrated and they're on that fence, and it's really about what's doing what I call making a power move. They got to pull the trigger. So they're at this point, at the cusp of their business, where you need help, you want help, you can keep people busy, but you're stuck saying, how am I going to pay that person? And my advice is always this. You know, that build it and they will come. If you make that power move and you pull the trigger, what happens? Everything just lines up, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like if you're smart about it, the whole universe opens up and all of a sudden more money's going to come in and you're going to be able to pay
exactly
that person.
Exactly right. That's exactly how I approach it too, because you're so exhausted and you're so afraid because you're counting the money that's coming in and you're like, how am I going to pay for this person? And I think it's just so important that when you're in business, if you want to be big, you have to think big. And so, you know, to me, when I look at how many hours there are in a day, I very, very quickly realized that even if I worked every single day, unless I was charging $1,000 an hour, there wasn't going to be enough money, there wasn't going to be enough revenue coming in for me. And the only way that you can make that happen is to grow your team. And I believe 1,000% along with you, you have to make that move. It's scary, but once you do it, and if you do it right, it will more than pay for itself.
It does. And you can just, you just keep, you don't even skip a beat. I mean, it's one of the scariest things as an entrepreneur. It's terrifying. And I get it. I've been there. You've been there.
Yeah.
So what advice do you give somebody if they're on that fence about making that power move? What can you say to somebody out there that's listening that's just going to make them feel better about doing it, other than trust us, it works?
Well,
or maybe that is it. Trust us, it does work.
Yeah, I can only use my sort of, you know, history to sort of back up my opinions on it, and that's what I tend to do. But I think you have to realize when you're dealing with somebody, there's a few different groups I've found over the years of people who are in the staging world, and some are doing it because it's kind of a hobby and they love it, and you know, it fills their time, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I kind of consider that almost like a hobby stager, and that's fantastic. But if you're someone who's really serious and you're saying, this is my business, this is what I am going to be, you know, doing for the next however many years of my life, and this is what I want to be successful in, then you have to take it seriously. And that goes back to the RISA convention. It kind of will frustrate me when people will say, oh, I don't know, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of a lot of money. And I think you're really thinking short term, because it is not a lot of money. You could meet one person there that can help change the way you grow your business, and it can pay for itself tenfold. So it's kind of that think big if you want to be big philosophy I just try to kind of encourage people to look at, instead of thinking small, right? And thinking small is,
right,
I can't afford to pay that person. I'm already, you know, not making as much money as I want, instead of, I'm going to pay this person so that I can help grow my business so that I, in the end, will make more.
Right. I think a lot of people view, you know, that I can't. And I have that saying, that Henry Ford saying, if you think you can, you think you can't. Either way, you're right. And it's what everybody's putting their own limits on what it is that they're doing. Or they say, I can't do it because of this. I can't do it because of that. All those obstacles that are out there, I'm very big about the obstacle metaphors, and obstacles are not there to keep you from doing something. They're there to keep people out that don't want it badly enough.
Yeah.
So when you figure you want this badly enough, the obstacle is just something that you're going to look at over your shoulder once you're through it. You say, look what it was that I got through in order to get where it is that I needed to go. And it makes such a big difference. Tell me a little, anything else that you want to talk about regarding growing your business with a team? Anything that we haven't touched on yet?
Well, you know, there's so many things. I mean, this is just one small example, but having come from the corporate world and really enjoying that corporate environment, I knew immediately when I started staging, it was way too lonely of an existence for me. And I think that that's why things like RISA and a lot of the sort of groups that I've joined even through RISA are so valuable, because as a stager, you kind of usually, and you might have a partner, but for the most part, you're kind of on your own. And I knew immediately that I wanted to get to a point where we could have, because I'm all about having fun, right? So I wanted Christmas parties again, and I wanted staff functions, and I wanted to have sales meetings. And I think that for a lot of people, it can be very overwhelming when not only are they getting into an industry that, you know, they might know exactly how to stage beautifully, way, way beyond my capability, but again, they don't have the business resources. And because our industry is so new, it really forces everybody to have to go out and start a company. You know, there aren't all these massive staging companies out there saying, hey, come and work for us, and all you have to do is go and fluff pillows. No, you've got to go become a CEO. And I could see it being really overwhelming for people who think, this isn't what I signed up for. You know, I don't want to do profit and loss statements, and I don't know how to do this stuff. And I just kind of keep saying, look at the big picture. Look at the big prize, because I feel that when I look at what I've accomplished, and, you know, obviously I have a lot more that I want to grow, I'm working in the industry that there's no other industry in the world that I would want to be in, but I've still been able to get it to that level where I'm happy with that corporate environment and that team approach. It's so much more fun when you have a team. It's so much easier when you have somebody. Yeah. And not only that, but here's another example. We just had one of our stagers who had a family member pass away from the United Kingdom and had to leave and was gone for 2 months. And this is a high producer on my team. So she immediately has six people saying, we've got your back, don't worry. And every call and every client is taken care of while she's gone. So that can happen when you're solo. And if you need to go on a holiday, your business just kind of sits there. So, I mean, there's just so many so many amazing reasons to getting a team. I can't stress it enough.
Yeah, I love the teamwork environment. How many team meetings do you have a week?
Oh, we don't have any. We don't have one a week, or I think everybody would, they'd all quit. We have one a month. And
one a month.
Yeah. So, I mean, but we do a lot of communicating throughout the week. Our calendars are all synced, and so we know exactly what's happening with which person. And obviously our office and our warehouse is a general meeting spot, so we see each other a great deal sort of throughout the week. But it's, you know, the sort of the more the once a month where we sit down and, okay, what are our goals and how are, you know, what are some challenges we've been having or what, you know, what do we want to move forward doing and those kinds of things.
Yeah. I love the team meetings. We do our team meetings once a week, every Monday morning. We sit down together every Monday morning. We are together by 9 a.m., sometimes before then. But we do a quick meeting. What are our goals? What are we working on? Where are you at on this? Did I need this from you? Where's the follow-up? We all know each other's schedule. And I think that's crucial as well.
Yeah.
It is so much more fun with a team. That's when I shine. It's when I have a team of people, like, let's just all go out and tackle this all together. And hopefully you'll touch on this part of the team aspect is not micromanaging your team. I'm a firm believer that when you have a team, you find great people, put them in place, and let them do what they do best. It might be a little bit different than the way that I do something. I might have a different approach, but if the end result gets me what I need, I want to empower my team in order to go out there and figure it out the way that they would do it. As long as I get the end result, how they got there, I'm really not so much concerned about.
I'm exactly the same, especially when you're dealing with so much creativity. The last thing that I want to do, and I kind of talk about this in my workshop where I say you kind of want to clone yourself. And when I say clone yourself, I mean that you want the process from that first initial client call to, you know, the D stage and the end result to sort of flow the same way. But it doesn't mean that everyone on my staff needs to go in and stage their pillows the way I want my pillows staged. They have complete creativity to put whatever look they want to look together. So it's a little bit like I'm also going to talk about the franchise model in my workshop. You know, why is McDonald's the most successful food establishment in the world? You know, I mean, it's not because their food tastes good. You know, Subway, you know, Starbucks, why are all these franchises so incredibly successful? I was just actually Googling, Hampton Hotels made the top 10 of 2015 for most successful franchise just franchises in general. Well, what is it that they're doing? You know, they're not obviously just giving clean sheets and, you know, clean rooms. So I really believe in that sort of franchise model, and we're going to touch on that. And I try to implement that with my organization, but I draw the line when I say once we get to the creativity part, they get free rein. You know, we obviously need to follow laws of, you know, scale and design and whatnot, but they're all great at that. So they might stage something completely differently than the way I would, and I embrace it. The last thing I want to do is stifle their creativity.
Exactly, and I love that, and I like doing that as well for my team members. Again, you find great people and let them do what they do. Get out of their way. I mean, that's, you know, part about being a leader, and the leader of the team is about not being a dictator. You've got to lead them and turn them loose, let them do it. You know, if something doesn't work out, then you can always recap and tweak and massage things as you go along. And another thing that I found with your concept and team building is this. You talk about being a lonely solopreneur, somebody with just a singleton in their business.
Yeah.
When you're looking at this and you're building your team, what is one of the reasons that you want to do that for? Resell. One day, you may want to get out of the staging industry. And
Absolutely.
It is going to be a lot easier for you to sell your business when you have your profit and loss statements, that you have that team and you have everything that is just in proper working order to be able to sell that business. When you're a single person,
again, it goes
doing
back
your business,
to the think big if you want to be big. You know, if you want to
be
a big corporation that someone's going to want to buy one day, you have to think big. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And when you're alone and you're by yourself, what it ends up being is just that you're just going to end up selling your inventory.
That's right.
What it turns out
because you're the business.
It's just a fire sale. Exactly.
Yeah.
you've got to have something that you can pass on. When you are the business and that's it, it's going to make it very, well, it might be valuable to you. Someone else isn't going to necessarily pay for that. And here's the other thing with that. When you're a single person running the business, something along these lines, it has a lot to do with who you are as the business. So you could sell that business to somebody else, and they could tank that business in 60 days.
That's right.
They don't
you're
have the skill set that you have. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was funny because when I first started joining or, you know, getting my team on board, I was, you know, I had every client, obviously. I was doing everything. So I would slowly start funneling sort of some of my clients out and passing them on to, you know, sort of the new stager who was taking over. And I had a few that for years would not let me go. You know, they were like, no, I want you and you're the only one. And it's probably been in the last year that they finally said, you know what? Your team's great. They do a great job. Send her, and I know that I'm going to be well taken care of. So when you're the only one, yeah, you're going to have a really tough time having somebody else come in and take that company over and expect to sort of have no hiccup in the day-to-day sort of running of the company because you are the company. And I think that's very important.
Yeah, I agree. You know, we're already at the end of our time. Can you believe that? It goes by so fast.
That did. That was crazy.
It's crazy. Yeah. Crazy. Okay, final talking point. Give me 30 seconds. What's the last thing you want to leave people with today?
The last thing I want to leave people with is something sort of similar to what I said about my recent convention. I really hope that people come to my workshop. I'm really excited about it. Anyone who knows me knows I love to have fun. My mantra is work hard, play hard. Everyone on Team Fine Redesign follows this rule. So we all work hard, but we have a ton of fun. And I want to try to incorporate that into the workshop. So I do want to make it a little fun. We're going to have some gift draws and make it very interactive. And I just want to kind of encourage everybody to have that same approach when they come to my workshop, if they come, to just, you know, pick one or two things that you think you might be able to take back and apply to your business because, you know, it could make the difference between sort of, you know, making it grow or not maybe getting the growth that you're looking for.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm hoping to see everybody at RisaCon.
Yeah, they will be signing up. Your session is January 23rd at the 2:30 session. If anybody's on the fence about attending RisaCon, please visit risaconvention.com. Check out all of our amazing speakers in addition to Katie Matthewman. And Katie, if anybody's out there listening and they are in your area, which is the British Columbia outside of Vancouver, what is your website address if someone's looking to hire a home stager?
We are www.fineredesign.ca.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for joining me today, Katie. It's been a pleasure speaking to you. And for everybody else, if you are interested in home staging, starting a career in home staging, visit us at realestatestagingassociation.com.
Stager Talk Radio, brought to you by Real Estate Staging Association. The Real Estate Staging Association is the trade association for professional real estate stagers. For information on real estate staging or to hire a professional stager, visit www.realestatestagingassociation.com or call 1-888-201-8687 for a referral to a professional real estate stager in your area.